this Board of Directors meeting to order, August 13th, 2025, at 4 p.m. Would everybody please stand for the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Here.
Tim Beatty.
Here.
Eric Creighton.
Here.
Jerry Warner.
Here.
Dan Drayton.
Here. Chief, were there any public comments received by phone or mail or email?
No, sir.
Okay. All right, let's move down to election of board officers. So, looking for a motion to elect new officers?
I make a motion to keep Tim Beatty as president.
Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, roll call.
Oh, I have to do a roll call.
Sorry.
So is that the, are we gonna do them all at once?
We'll do individually.
Do individually, okay. So Nancy, yes?
I didn't know we were gonna do that, but we're doing that.
Okay. Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Epstein.
Oh, Epstein. Eric Creighton.
Yep.
Jerry Warner.
Yes.
And Dan Drayton.
Yes. Okay, we'll move to vice president position. And looking for any motions for vice president?
I'll nominate Dan Drayton.
Second.
Okay, so who wants the second?
Nancy and Eric.
Nancy and Eric. Okay, so.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
And Jerry Warner.
Yep.
Now I'll open it up to the board secretary treasurer.
I nominate Nancy Oxenholt.
Second. For Jerry, and then Dan?
Jerry and Dan.
And roll call, please.
Okay, so Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jerry Warner.
Yep.
And Dan Drayton.
Yes. Good.
Don't we have to say if we accept?
No.
She just said she accepted.
Doesn't work that way, Nancy. I mean, you can protest it if you want. It'll work.
You can do it.
I'll just meet with.
We're all here as one team. We'll help each other.
That's right.
All right, let's move down to board minutes of 7/9/2025. Any review or discussion? Anybody got anything?
Nope.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Okay, Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jerry Warner.
Yep.
Dan Drayton.
Yes. Okay, we'll move down to financials. Banking, has the secretary treasurer reviewed the banking reconciliations?
Yes.
So, goes to Dan. Good. QuickBook audit report.
Not this month.
None this month. Okay.
Or last month.
I wasn't here last month, and I think you brought one up to the board. You brought it to the board.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted a QuickBooks at scene or something, and
yes, we'll get through just around here and there.
Okay.
Didn't miss it here because I think we got a phone call.
Okay. So I think, and Chief, you might correct me. Are we supposed to actually bring it to the board? Right? We're supposed to.
Yeah.
Rip one off.
As a report.
Ask for, yeah.
Yep, and the board reviews it.
Okay.
It's whatever the.
I'll meet with Kathy or whoever now is the person.
And you get to just randomly select two
accounts.
And then they pick open, and she'll be able to print a report out.
So the door and our board packet, or does it just come or stuff?
My understanding, it doesn't work. said when we were here.
Yeah.
You can't just pick two accounts. You go in and you roam around. Whether you're gonna get a printout or not, I don't know. That's between her and Nancy, because she never even talked to me about that. It's just,
okay.
You go in and you can drill down right from the clear through the invoice when it was purchased and designed for it, so.
Well, we might, after you just figure that out, then we have to look at our policy, because our policy doesn't say that.
Okay.
So we might have to update our policy if that's the case.
I'll take one.
Yeah. When we developed the policy, she said, there's many different ways, and she said that that would be, but after Dan's entrapment into that, he.
So would we place that again? Would we place that in our board books, or would we bring it to the board of that meeting and look, have a chance to look over it thoroughly?
I think that it should go in your board books, because that only comes out 4 days, 5 days before the meeting, and then you'd get,
You can review it.
You'd have a chance to review it and bring any questions at that time. Kind of pushing it out in front of everybody right away doesn't give you time to digest that, so.
I just couldn't remember how we worded the policy.
I don't believe it says that in the policy, but we'll take a good look at it after Nancy's able to meet with Kathy also to determine how she can get into that, so. Yeah.
Okay, I'll meet with her.
Yeah, we'll work together. She's a little difficult to get ahold of right now, so be patient.
Dorothy could do it too, though, right?
And that would be a good place to go. I think that a lot of stuff's transitioning over to Dorothy. As you know, Kathy's announced her retirement, and she's only gonna work on special projects, is what the email said. And then she emailed me, and she said, you're a special project.
I was saying, don't trust me, I'll be her special project.
So she's still gonna take on the fire departments, but she's gonna get out of all the other stuff, so.
Okay, thank you.
All right, monthly financial report. Any review or discussion on the monthly financial report?
What do we pay Tony's top deal for?
What do we pay for it?
Yeah, what are we doing there?
Oh, so the water tender, when it went to California and back, the back hose bed cover tore up pretty good.
Yeah.
And so the state actually reimbursed us for having that fixed. And we also replaced the covering on the seat on the ladder truck that's out here. It was torn, losing foam, so.
Thank you.
Those are the two items for that.
It's cool we kept it local.
Yeah, he does pretty good work, so. As far as what I've got here, we're 8.3% into the budget year, if you review anything on here. So page three, again, anything that pops up over that 8.3%, we take a look at. The captain's was 11.6. I'm not sure why, and then the firefighters were 6.6. I don't know if she accidentally swapped a firefighter into a captain's, a captain into a firefighter. I've got to check with her on that. Temporary employees are up because this is the time of year that they're working. And then the staff overtime is increased because we paid out for a conflagration that we went on. So overall, on page four, personnel services is 11.1 at 8. In there, and that was, I believe that was the only one. Public safety expenditures overall were at 7% at 8.3% into the year. You'll also see that we've already actually started bringing in some money, and the interest is already at 18% right off the bat, so we're doing pretty good with that. The other thing is that talking to Kathy today, there will be no more expenditures in last fiscal year. So the auditors have already started, and they've asked us to close the books on last fiscal year. We were able to usually keep them open to get a few things that were stragglers for bills that were actually stuff that last year, but we didn't get billed till this year. So that's all finished. And I asked her for the next board meeting that we have one of these printed out for the year end for last year, so we have 100%. We can see exactly where we stood on that, and she'll have that done. So last fiscal year is closed out, and auditors have already started asking for lots of stuff. And they gave a meeting, a couple of dates for meeting here, I believe in September, that they wanted to come down. So I'll make sure that treasurer and the president notify, or we'll loop you into that so that we can get a date that meets you guys' schedule.
Good. Perfect. Any further discussion on the financial report?
looking for a motion to approve the financial report.
So moved.
Okay. How about a second?
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
Dan Drayton?
Yes. All right, nothing under, old business, new business. Item number one, policy, review policy 1.12, student program. Chief, you have?
Yep, so this is a brand new policy that we're putting, before you, to approve the district moving forward with starting a youth in the fire service program. We're not calling it a student program because it's not associated with the school, either the community college or the high school at all. They're just.
They don't wanna do it? I thought.
We've gotten a lot of lip service.
Okay.
So we're gonna move forward with this. Firefighter Wilkinson has already got four kids that wanna be part of this program. One of them's been doing ride-alongs. So the first part of the process is adopting a policy that says that the board supports this program and what we're gonna do for it. This is not the operational portion of this. This is just who's responsible, what we're doing. Talks about, you know, just the general purpose of why we're doing, the requirements that the district will have, and then the responsible persons. We're having, you know, the program manager and then supervising adults. So the supervising adults actually have to go through an additional background investigation just like school teachers do. They wanna make sure that we're not putting, our backgrounds don't go in as depth as that would do. So we would follow the same guidelines as the school has. And that was so we met with special districts and had Jason Jancy come down and talk with us about student programs as one of the topics. And he said that's the most fearful thing that our insurance company and that they have as risk managers is that we have a one-on-one with a student and an adult, and that adult has not been vetted and could potentially, you know, if we don't do our due diligence and something bad happens, it opens up us to a huge amount of liability. So he says, as long as you follow what the school district outlines, we should be perfectly covered with that. So.
Can they get credit for it?
Not now, because they're not part of either one of those programs. And so the new Oregon Coast Community College president used to be a police officer, was a DPSST, and did a lot of stuff with Shemakata. Lieutenant Weaver knows him, and we were having a discussion while we were serving drinks the other night at the beach club, or however that happened. And he's interested in talking to him about an encompassing program that's not just fire, but maybe leads to police officers and to 911 telecommunicators and emergency medical technicians. It's more of an overall, what do they want to do to help us? And if that happens, then they can accredit our, would be able to accredit our program at some point, try and figure that out. So it has the eligibility that they have to have to participate, and then ongoing eligibility requirements that they would need to maintain the participants with. So this is what we put together for that. And then again, once this is approved, then we'll start working on the application that they have to have, the release form that the parents have to sign. They would have to even do, you know, have physical requirements and things like that. That's all part of the other operational procedure.
So are we gonna continue to work on the school given the kids
I would like to. The problem with that is, again, it's been a lot of lip service, but I think what they're gonna see is that we started and they're gonna say, oh, we gotta catch up. And then it might actually come to pass. It's a sticking point. If they're getting credit, high school credits for it, they have to have a teacher there overseeing and doing it. And that's been the sticking point. Riley's the only teacher that is accredited that can do that. That's why they're trying to pull that in with their forestry program. And, you know, what a better thing is you can have a forestry program that maybe gets kids interested in wildland fire stuff. And, you know, because ODF, during the summer they fight fires, in the winter they go out and do forestry. They count trees for sales and things like that. So if they combine that, then they'd have another teacher of record who could assist with making sure that they get credit for that. That's all on the school side, we'll do whatever we can, but we're not gonna get people certified as school teachers to meet that program.
Oh, boy, things have changed.
Oh, yeah.
Just so there's a typo on the second page, under ongoing eligibility requirements, it says maintain food standing, should be good standing, I assume.
No, they actually have to bring food to every, especially with Rick's on.
Yeah, that one's already been fixed, but I noticed one down on the bottom under supervising adults too, it needs to say NLFR personnel, not NOFR.
Darn AI.
So, yes, those corrections will be made.
Any further discussion on policy 1.12? Looking for a motion to approve?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty?
Yes.
Eric Creighton?
Yes.
Jerry Warner?
Yep.
And Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Thank you guys for the hard work on that, I'm pretty excited about the kids having the opportunity to get into something interesting like that, so.
How soon do you think you're gonna get it rolling?
Well, I'd like to get it within the next couple of months, with John and the, so I bet all four of these kids are on football, right? So they're gonna be occupied with practices and things like that. So I would hesitate to say that I'd like to do it in the next couple of months, at least get the kids interested, get the paperwork done, get the physical stuff done. Maybe we're starting in November, December, once football season closes out, so before the first of the year.
Okay.
All right, moving down to local union 5169 report, has everybody had a chance to read it or?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion on that?
No, I like their donations, it's very nice.
Yes.
You get something to backpacks?
No, I didn't get any.
You didn't get any?
No, Lincoln City Sports, which is well needed, and the swim club, looks great.
All right, committee staff reports.
First thing you have there is the volunteer association meeting. It was held on, just right after the 4th of July on that Monday, so we had a lot of good participation. So that's their report that they have there. We had a lot of stuff on my report, especially safety issue with Mr. Vance on North Bank Road. Talked about ODOT and what they're gonna be doing if they do decide to close out. And then Chief Bickerdike talked about task books and things like that, although it falls, it's under my report for some reason.
So, on North Bank, Mr. Vance, is it, we're not responding unless law enforcement's there first, or?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, we're not going.
Okay.
We're not going till he, or even the next door neighbor's house, that they seem to flock over to when something happens, so.
And it's a safety issue.
Yeah, till law enforcement, when they've already had an incident where he walked over there with gun in his hand. He sits out there on North Bank Road in his lawn chair and points his shotgun at people that drive by or drive too fast.
Is that just past the dealer's place?
Yeah, and from what I heard prior is that sheriff won't go out unless they have SWAT behind him.
Oh, yeah, the sheriff's office doesn't wanna go out there anymore. They just know a confrontation's gonna happen, we're not gonna be that group, so.
Until somebody gets injured.
Well, depends on who gets injured. Safety committee report there, Chief Hyde and Chief Bickerdike were both there. If you have any questions about what they've got, they'd be happy to answer. Hearing nothing, moving on, so you have Chief Hyde's report for what he's done in this last month.
Great work, thank you guys.
I think the one thing that we're looking at coming up here is the preparedness fair next month, September 13th. And so I'd encourage all the board members to come to that. And the other thing we'll do for that is by chance there gets to be three board members there at the same time. I've seen other districts actually put something out on their notification, Facebook and things that says there's a possibility that there will be more than two board members at this meeting.
I'll be there cooking.
Is that on a Saturday?
Yes.
As a matter of fact.
So I won't be there.
Doesn't mean that Dan and Jerry won't show up. So, any of those things. And then we do have an open house coming October 10th. Get a free hamburger from Northwest, right? You don't have to wait till tomorrow, the day after to get it in, or 2 days after. Chief Pickerdike's report's in there about training assignments, training hours have been. The thing, certifications received, so Eric Mesa's got his live fire instructor, which is a little, takes a while to get. Then John Wilkinson also got his firefighter two, and then he got another couple of certifications in the mail today for folks.
Yeah, another half dozen or so.
Yep, and then we do post those out on Facebook, and he makes them stand there and take their picture, and so that we put that stuff out and see that.
How did the one and done do? Was there any incidences?
Yes, we had a couple.
Medical?
Yep.
Do they have to be transported?
Yep. It's a HIPAA violation.
No, I know, and we got paid to do that?
Yep, we did.
Okay.
Yep, we did.
Okay.
The other thing on page two of his, you'll see an NFPA support person certification. Anybody who is not a combat firefighter will have to attain the certification. I think most of them, I'd say most of them, the people that have been here already have checked a lot of those boxes, but this is a new certification that is recognized nationally for people who are members of fire departments. It gets them basic incident command stuff, radio stuff, just know about the district. They can come out on the scenes, change bottles, set up rehab, do all that kind of stuff. So we've made it mandatory that all of our non-entry firefighters must have to do this. Even all the water rescue guys have to go through this also. So,
okay,
any questions for Chief Bickerdike?
Thank you.
My report there, other ambulance transports. So we did quite a few last month, 21 of them. 8 of them were interfacility transfers. They did 3 in one day. B shift was trying to outdo everybody else to see. I could have given them a 4th, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning. They didn't want to do it. I don't know, not that they didn't want to. So we're of 21, 8 of them were interfacility. So that's the amount of money we brought in collection wise, short term rental inspections. So those notable monies that we've received. We're getting money back on those physicals, which is good to do. Building equipment maintenance. So as you outside here, Bob's been painting on that wall. He's gets a little fog in the morning. So anyway, he's just about finished with that. It says brush 16 is in the shop. It is out of the shop. It had a high pressure oil pump. They had an O-ring fail. They could replace the O-ring, but the casting that was over the top was all pitted and it would just eat up the O-ring again. And so they had to get that replaced or find a piece of replacement for that. When they got that done, then they found out that the high pressure oil pump had a leak. So those items were repaired, cost us $3,700. So that's the 6.0 that we've put a lot of money into in the past couple of years. You know, we put $14,000 into the new heads a couple of years ago. It also needed rear brakes, so Les Schwab put $1,000 worth of brakes on it. It's a 2003 F550 with 35,000 miles on it. So it's not like we have a whole lot of miles, but it's a 2003. And we'll have a discussion about vehicle replacement in the near future. As I pointed out last month, all the generators at the stations, the Cummins generators needed to be looked at by Cummins. They came down and load tested and did everything to meet specifications. We ended up, the biggest expense was we had to replace the batteries in all of those. They actually weren't that expensive of a battery, shockingly. They're huge batteries. I think they were only $200 a piece. But we got all the batteries replaced, all the load tests done. He did say that the generator down at station 16 is tired. I remember it spent its first however many years of its life outside. It did not have it wasn't inside. So it got rusted pretty bad and a lot of the interior components got beat up. So as he looked at that and he did his evaluation, he says, don't be surprised the day this one craps out on you. So it's pretty worn, even though it's, you know, and the main reason was it just sat outside for the first few years of its life. So the other two generators are all inside and have always been inside. Look at that as an issue we're gonna have to deal with. It's not on here, but our 2009, one of our 2009 Pierce engines, we took to Cummins Diesel a few days ago on Monday, well, yesterday it went, 2 days ago, went out to Cummins. It's front dash just threw all sorts of error codes. Bo tried to fix it. Basically, it's a high pressure crankcase that we're dealing with. It is the same issue that the other 09 Pierce dealt with a couple of years ago, and that ended up being a $22,000 fix, basically replace the head. So it's off at Cummins right now. If it's $22,000, that's basically 22% of our budget this year for maintenance right off the bat, not including the brush rig that just got out of the shop too. So we'll spend quite a bit of money on that.
How often do we use it?
How often does it get used? It's actually one of the front line ones. So it rotates between stations. So we take the two new ones and that one, and it goes between 14, 15, and 16 and rotates every 6 months.
Okay.
So the problem is we're trying to get miles on it before it goes away. What kills me is that we sell a 25, 30-year-old fire truck with 20,000 miles on it because we don't drive stuff. That's why rotating things through your fleet is the best thing that you can do. The other issue is it's a diesel motor. Diesel motors aren't made to sit there. They're not made to drive short distances and just idle for hours on end. That's why putting high idles when they kick on, which the newer trucks automatically do. This is an 09, so they have to remember to push that high idle button. And getting it out and driving it. You know, Dave McKee back, he used to just take them up Cascade Head and put his foot into it and try and blow it out. So you're driving it for a half an hour. Diesel motors are made to go long distances. That's what they put in trucks. So anyway, more to follow on what that cost is. Garage door openers at station 16, so we've replaced two of them. Then they adjusted the doors and lubricated them. And so actually the two that are done, they're quiet, they're nice, they're working really well. So part of that is getting them to adjust it. And when they put that in, they also found that one of the cables on one of the sides was stretched out. So they had to replace the cable and do that. So they're going through all 14 of those doors to take care of that. Alarm responses, you can see there, we jumped up 9% over last July of this year. We're up 2.8% year to year, and there's the sheet in there that shows those. High acuity incidents last month, so we had the Coast Guard rescue two juveniles from at the road's end, at the end where they climbed up the embankment and got stuck at the top, and then Captain Horning went up there to help calm him down and have radio communications, and they ended up hoisting him also just because it was easier to get him off that way than having him climb down. And then we responded out to the Elk conflagration fire, sent an engine, and then Cody went and assisted as the assistant task force leader, so he signed off on that book now, and we've sent the bill into the state for a little over $45,000.
Did you get everything you wanted done, passed on your certificates?
Yep, all done.
Oh, good. Congratulations.
Yep, he's all done. So audit accounting update, again, that's beginning. We're closing the books out today. I already talked about that. Personnel hiring, two full-time on probation right now. Raise your hand, Seth. Taft High graduate on probation again. So. The other one is Connor Mercer, and he is 2 months more, and then probation will be up. Again, the four people were hired for temporary positions, five volunteers first year of training. We have 18 volunteers, so we're down a couple. One moved out of the area, moved to Portland. And then we have four support volunteers. We had two people that were all set to come on board, and they got, took, sent them to physicals, paid all that money. They never showed up to be on board with Krista. And we called and called, and they never returned calls and.
Or emails.
Yeah, so, I guess it's glad that they did it now than till after we issued gear and did all that other stuff, so. We're bringing on a district photographer. That's something that Cody's been working on. So as soon as we get this job description finished, he'll be on there, and he will be, he'll fall under that support person area, along with the four people that are all four of our chaplains, basically, so.
For what?
What's that?
For what?
Photographer.
Yeah.
All he's gonna do is come out and take pictures. So when we go out and do, I know, well, so the, when we go out and we like pictures taken, it takes away from us being able to manage the incident. Oh yeah, I gotta get my camera out and take that picture. Whereas that guy, his whole purpose in life is to come out and take pictures. And so, he'll do that, and then he'll also help with documenting fire investigations that Cody does, so he can hold this while the guy takes a picture of it. And it'll free up, you know, that's what this guy wants to do, so.
And that's a volunteer?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He is a retired, he said several different photo jobs, and he just lives down the street here and wants to come take pictures. Call him, something to do.
Okay.
With the casino, Cody was actually invited up there to assist them in their, how many people they could put in a room. They did a big remodel upstairs where the buffet was and did that. And this is the first time we've been invited in to assist. And I think it goes pretty well to finally get our foot in the door there to assist. We have no jurisdiction whatsoever there, but being able to see what they're doing and being asked to help is good, especially when in another couple months here, I'm gonna send them the, hey, you're gonna donate the, you know, $75,000 to $80,000 to the fire district for what they do. Along with that, you can see that on Logan Road there in their RV
trailers.
Park, they're going to put in 23 units, either two or three bedroom units, that, and I haven't seen anything. I don't know what they've done. I don't know if they
still have the trailers there.
Well, they're moving new ones in.
I haven't seen
any. Are they going to be trailers?
Yeah, they're moving new ones in.
Yeah, all the. They're
going to take those old ones out?
Those old ones are gone. FEMA took those and sold them.
Oh, so
the stuff that's there is the new
building.
So.
Wow.
Again, it's an area we don't have jurisdiction. We just asked to make sure that we had access and water supply stuff that we needed for that area. Nothing more from ISO. So the district motto, I'm gonna put this out here, that so we have had a placeholder for a district motto for years, since Don Baker put the district together and came up with our list of core values. I solicited to the employees and the volunteers to, you know, hey, come up with ideas. I got everything from a couple of, to, you know, if you're not first, you're last, kind of Ricky Bobby thing. One of the volunteers came up with. So we looked at, and then we did some research, and so our district motto we're gonna put out there is community first, mission driven. And so we did a research, an online search to see if anybody had it. I didn't wanna copy somebody else. And Dave came back with, nope, nobody's got that one. So that's gonna be our district motto. And it's four words, we'll put it out on our vehicles, that's kind of what.
Here's some from ChatGPT, first in, last out.
Yeah, I know.
Always ready, always there.
ChatGPT didn't come up with this one. ChatGPT was used to do some research on.
I was checking.
Yeah.
Chat ROV.
Yeah, there you go. So under the information stuff, again, backyard burning is closed. We still get a couple of violators, and what we have been getting lately is somebody's barbecuing and they think their neighbor's burning and stuff. So we're going out and seeing those. I can call out, so Mr. one of the Knot boys started a big cardboard fire, and Dave noticed it when he was driving by. I drove up the hill, asked him what they were doing. So The roof replacement notice is scheduled for the end of this month or the 1st of August. We did provide EMS at the off-road event in Otis on those 3 days, and we collected or were reimbursed $3,060 for the district. And yes, there were two transports that I know of out of that.
Okay.
National Night Out was held August 5th. We did Otis Fire Station and the Community Center, and they were both very well attended, a lot of good PR. I know Tim was there, ran out of hot dogs.
340 in an hour and a half.
Always ran out.
There's probably over 500 people there.
Cody had 200 hot dogs in Otis, and he didn't run out.
Oh.
You could have brought them on our way.
And so I know we had a discussion, or there was a short discussion about why is it the sheriff's office here in Lincoln City? And so they do that in multiple places. Otis, Sillette, down in Seal Rock. They've got like four different areas that they're doing it, and they're not in the city. So that's where they chose to set one up this year, down in Otis. And we were glad to share the fire station with them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I heard there was quite a few people that showed up there.
I think there was 60 to 70 people. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was terrible.
For your first year.
Yeah.
For their first year. Fundraiser at Family Promise held at Beach Club on the 6th. We surprisingly tied with the police department for the amount of money that was raised.
You didn't tie. They added more money.
They threw $6 in it. There was a $6 difference, and they magically, Weaver pulled out a dollar, which shocked me that he would pull out a dollar and put money. Yeah. He put a dollar in, but somebody else had to put in the other five.
It was great service. Yeah. It was very busy.
Yep, we did good. And these guys
it was
were
good.
These three
yeah,
guys were
yeah.
there, and they deserve a lot of credit
yeah,
for being there the whole time.
It was fun.
Yeah.
You
did a good job.
Yep. Turnout grant, no word for that on yet. We did get the, as I said before, the ODF BFC equipment grant. We can't do any purchasing on that till the end of September. I already talked about, we met with Jason Jancy and command staff, talked about water rescue and the student firefighter program. This year we're gonna go assist Corvallis Fire Department providing EMS at Oregon State University Games. They've got a game coming up on the 30th here, and we've got two paramedics that are going over there. We send Corvallis Fire a bill and it comes back, but in a week we get paid for that.
It's really quick, yeah.
And it's the same thing. We charge the configuration rate.
Mm-hmm.
So they go out there, and if we send a vehicle with them, we get to charge for the vehicle too.
Mm-hmm.
So we put all those games out, and we're getting people things.
Can
so
we
getting,
send board members too?
If you're an EMT, yes.
Oh.
So that works. And then so the last thing I put on there is we've been working with Pacific West Management over coverage and staffing issues. Our issue with them is that they're at level 3 at night, which is below what their contract is with the county. They have 4 ASAs. They're supposed to provide 4 ambulances. But we never knew when or if. So Chief Jackson and I met with their management staff, and so that's why we're getting a text message at night when they get close and say, it's supposed to happen by 4 or 5 o'clock, that says, hey, we're level 3 tonight. That allows us to predict resource management issues that we might have.
Sure.
And so we've found that it's helpful. Today we had the Ambulance Service Review Committee meeting, countywide meeting, and I pushed for and got they're gonna have to report to the ASRC committee every time they drop below their required amount of 4 ambulances in the county.
And why?
And why would they report it?
No, and are they saying why?
Oh yeah, they don't have
okay.
the staff. They're out of paramedics. They can't attract paramedics to work for them. So anyway, it's a compliance issue. And so they have their measure of compliance with their contract is nothing more than response times. Well, staffing falls into, will cause response times. And then they're putting a basic life support ambulance out there, and if it shows up, they want one of our paramedics, if it's an ALS call, to jump in and transport to the hospital. Well, I have an agreement with the prior administration there that they would pay us. The current people don't think that that's in force, but why are we providing paramedics so they can meet their requirements?
Are you billing them?
We haven't had to do it yet.
I would bill them.
Yeah.
And then what is the life like ambulance at the hospital doing?
It cannot do 911 calls, specifically prohibited.
It's just doing transportation?
Interfacility transfers, yep. It cannot do 911 calls.
Okay, that's all right, but I see it there all the time. It's like, are they even doing the transports? Is it any facility, like they could take it to Salem, they could go to OHSU?
Anything out of the hospital they can take, out of either hospital, they have a...
The one thing we were told by some of their staff, Lifeline staff, is they may drop down to one person only. And if they don't get a crew, a Lifeline helicopter crew to come in, they'll sit there with one person and not be able to take the transfer. So...
Okay, good, good to know, so then I can bring that up at the district board for...
That's what we've been told by their staff.
Because I'd like to know how many days that they do that.
Well, and that's why we did 8 times last month. We did interfacility transfers. So kind of the call down list, if they can't provide it, and their contract says they have to have within 4 hours on a non-emergency and within the hour on an emergency. And if they can't do it, they have to move to the next person on the list, which is Pacific West. Well, if they're at level 3, they're not gonna jump up and do it, they can't. So then it falls to us. If we can't do it, then they go to Grand Ronde Tribe, see if they can do it. If they can't do it, it falls all the way to Southwest Polk. I think we've got Sheridan in the mix. I'm not quite, I tried to get them in the mix so that they can do it, but...
Is Depot Bay staffed with ambulance? Do they have, they don't have, and Newport?
Nope. They don't have ambulance service license. We're the only fire district, but, well, even South Lincoln Ambulance is not part of Yahat's Fire Department. We're the only fire agency in the county with an ambulance service license. So when Depot Bay, a couple of years ago, when Brian Daniels was here, wanted to get an ambulance, went to the county commissioners and said, I want to get an ambulance, and because they had to approve it so they could get a license. OHA wouldn't give them a license unless they had approval from the county commissioners. Pacific West went in and said, no, we don't want them to have a license. We don't want them to have an ambulance. And so the county commissioner said, okay, they don't want you to have it. We're not gonna give you our permission. Because some of the wording that Daniels used said, we're not looking to take over an ASA at this time. If he hadn't thrown those 3 words in there, they'd had an ambulance. Because Pacific West looked at it as a threat to their ASA.
So does Lifeline have their helicopter in the rotation if they're ground to do it?
No.
Medical necessity, right? Does it, can you tell an insurance company they needed a $25,000-$30,000 bill versus a $3,000-$4,000 bill? For we took a the other night a hip fracture. So is a hip fracture helicopter worthy? Probably not. But a STEMI is, right? Trauma patient is. They won't put
and
a
that's
helicopter.
What the, that's if they'll land, because the fog has been a deterrent also lately.
Yeah, it's a weather thing too. So that's all I've got. Any questions?
Did you ask about the fire hydrant there on across from Dairy Queen, when they're gonna get that up and running yet?
Nope, I haven't asked.
Would you like me to?
We have a meeting tomorrow.
Thank
Dave
you.
And I do.
And so part of the meeting tomorrow.
With Dave?
Not with Dave, with Jeff Rondino. And we will be, he's getting us access to their, what I'm gonna call their inspection and asset management.
Who's Jeff Rondino?
Well, he works for the city. He's also one of our water rescue volunteers.
Okay, I know who he is. Okay.
He's giving us access to this, so we will go out and start doing some testing, and we, if there was an issue, we can put it in the system. It goes directly to Dave and or whoever it goes to, water department, so that they know it needs to be fixed. So I will ask about that hydrant as well then.
Thank you.
The other thing that we were talking about with hydrants, and we have been, is public hydrants, private hydrants.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of private hydrants, and that's one of the things that that Cody, and within this program, they're gonna identify. Because private hydrants have to be flow tested every 2 years.
Yes.
And
are they not private across the street?
They are private across the street. Every 2 years, just like you have your extinguishing system inspected, you have your fire alarm system check, it is required by the fire code that those hydrants be checked. And so we're identifying where those hydrants are. I know in the middle of the outlet mall, there is a fire hydrant. They consider that a private hydrant. Anything that's within, within a apartment complex, the outlet malls, you look something that's off, private streets.
Indian Shores?
Well, that's one of the questions he's gonna ask, is whether or not they're considered public or private hydrants. And if they're public hydrants, when have we tested them? When have we looked at them last?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's been a while.
Yeah, and so not only there, but.
15 years, yeah.
But up at the Lincoln Star Resort, behind a gated community, are those public or private? It's a private street, right? There's a bunch of those questions we're working on.
But it's city water.
It's, I'm not gonna lie, it's the weirdest system to me.
But who set it up, the city?
It's a very strange, private to me means it's on a private water supply as well, but it's not, it's just, yeah.
What do other areas do?
Other areas that I've worked,
It's all city.
It's all city, yeah. They may, you know, they'll require them to put them in and stuff, but the city then takes them over and maintains them.
Okay.
So that's why I said it's a weird system to me.
And so if you look at, and the street names up there off of West Elk Lake Boulevard, those roads in there that are half of them blocked off. Access to those, you know, they put some plastic things in it that we can drive over if we need to, but are those hydrants in there, public or private? And then our access issues that we're in there, so we're having those conversations.
Okay.
That's it.
Anybody else got anything else for the chief? All right. Upcoming district board member activities, public meeting law training, August 20th, and that is in Hebo at the Cloverdale New, or Nestucca, excuse me, Nestucca New Fire Hall there. That's like 5 or 6 years old, isn't it? I think, or something. Preparedness fair, like Chief said, Station 1600, September 13th. SDAO Board Regional Training in September. I don't have a date on that one.
There was several dates, and Jerry wants to, he's gonna attend the one that's in Salem, so I'm gonna get him signed up for that.
Okay. We just need one board member to attend that, is that?
It's just an optional training. I know Nancy went when she first became a board member. It just kind of goes over your duties and things like that.
Well, they used to come and do that here. Do they not offer that anymore?
I went to Newport.
She went to Newport and did it. They offer it once a year, and they scattered around throughout the state. There's Newport, Astoria, Salem. Those are kind of the localer ones to us, and Jerry's chose to go to the one in Salem.
Fire Prevention Week, open house, Station 1600, October 10th. And anybody have anything for the good of the order? Okay, I don't. So call for this, any public comments or non-agenda items. Is there anything online?
Yeah, the station's online. I'll wish Jerry a happy birthday.
Made it
as long as I.
Looking for a motion to adjourn.
Accomplishments.
So moved.
Second.
Dan and Eric.
Roll call, please.
Yes.
Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Yes. Tim Beatty.
Yes.
Eric Creighton.
Yes.
Jerry Warner.
Yep.
Dan Drayton.
Yes.
In honor of Jerry's birthday, we have.